Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. Be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not so as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Well, look, tonight as we come together, turn in your Bibles, and our text really is taken from chapter 2 and simply verse 20. We've been a little series where we've done autobiographical kind of addresses. We've looked at people and characters from the Bible. And we simply did this because there's a need to realize that God has used people to bless his church, to encourage his church, and to further his kingdom. Because subconsciously, we're living in a day where people think that it's plans and programs that God blesses. It gets into the psyche of certain churches. If only we do a certain program. It may have been used in other places, and it seems to multiply. And people believe that these programs are blessed and perhaps they've been used certain ways, and then you've got little plans that people have. What should we do to make the church more attractive? And what we've said is simply this, is that God really anoints people. It is people that God then uses and sets apart for the building up of his church. You find that really in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, where it says that from the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each does its share, causes growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. And tonight I want us to look at the character called Timothy. Timothy is a great player, a main player here in the New Testament. He is someone who has come, and you've mentioned in many letters, he was Paul's right-hand man. He was someone who Paul entrusted greatly. And there are many such qualities that Timothy has. We could turn to many, many different portions. And yet I just want us to pick on this one little text which seems to hone in of what was it about Timothy that made him that one, the go-to man that Timothy, that Paul would call upon in the most extreme of circumstances. He says, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." And this evening, when you think of those things which are needed, we've spoken here of Epaphroditus, and we've spoken of him who has given himself sacrificially. We've spoken of another which we need in the church, prayer warriors who will take hold of God. Then last time we were together, we looked at Barnabas and a person who encouraged. But there's also this quality, an aspect which is essential. Paul knew that. For the ministry of the church in Philippi, for the furtherance of the gospel, and for his own personal ministry, he knew what it was essential that then he had someone with him. In the other translations, it puts it like this, of kindred spirit. Now, Paul knew what it was in the life of the church to have those which he worked with but were not with him. Now, Paul, you only have to read the accounts. Paul knew what it was to have those which weren't on the same page. He knew what it was to have those who would betray him and undermine him, work secretly behind. It happens. And what you have sometimes, even in church life, where every time you want to do something, there's always someone putting on the brake, while Paul was always putting on the throttle. And I assure you, when that takes place, it's extremely difficult in any work to go on in any shape or form. And just to have one, actually he says in verse 20, and there were lots of workers that Paul had, but I think he's using a hyperbole kind of statement, for I have no one like-minded. And that's what he found in this man, Timothy. And what I want to show you from this book, of the book of Philippians, how important it is to be of like mind, to have a kindred spirit. It's not something which is small. Your thinking, your attitude, your spirit will have a great effect on the furtherance or the hindrance in the things of the church. You find it there, do you not, in verse 2. Fulfill my joy of being like-minded. Again, he says in verse 3, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And it goes on. You can find it again. There it is in chapter 4 and in verse 2. Imploring these two women to be of like mind. And I want to take this verse, and what I want to do first of all is apply it now in the broadest possible sense, and then also apply it to the church as a whole, and then perhaps apply it to ourselves individually. because I want to take it in the broad way. Because you'll be quite surprised today that in the church there are many who have got various ideas of church life, even church belief, of church practice, and of what it is then to be a Christian. Let's just take this verse 20. For I have no one like-minded. And although there will be those sticking up their hands and saying that they're Christians, yet I assure you that Paul, for not one moment, would have sent them on any ministry and on any missionary journey, because Paul knew that they were not like-minded. Have you not heard it? I'm sure you have. That someone says, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm so glad you are. But the only thing is this, I don't follow the Apostle Paul. I don't believe in what he said. You know, Paul, that big misogynist, Paul, that person who perverted the gospel of Jesus. Jesus came and he brought us that wonderful gospel. And then Paul went to go and change it. And he changed it in such a way and stopped it from having the great love and the joy. There are many people like that. We live in a church, we live in this world where many proclaim that they're Christians this day. And the reality is that although they say that, they will put up their hand and say, well, I don't believe what Paul believes. I don't agree with Paul. And they actually make this kind of a differentiation between Paul and John and Peter. And it's like if you were in the early church, one is Cephas, one is Apollos, you know, another super spiritual, and I am of Christ. There are many denominations in the world. If you went on the internet and gone down all the denominations, it's incredible. And people will say, well, I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this. But I'm going to say to you, you may be many of these things, but you may not even be of one mind with Paul in what he even believes. And because of that, you may not even be a Christian. You may not know what it is to have come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's been the history of the church. You can find it here in this book. Remember the Apostle Paul. He was one which was set apart by the Lord Jesus Christ to come and explain to us and teach us what it meant that Jesus Christ has come into this world. There was one section of the church, in the early church, they were called the Ebonites. And what they did was this. They took the New Testament and they cut out every single letter of Paul. And although they may claim to be Christians, and I want to make this straight tonight, you're only a Christian because you believe in Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe in the Jesus Christ that the apostles taught, then you're on very shaky ground. You need to believe that he is both God and man. You need to believe that what he did on that cross of Calvary is that he died for our sins. You've got to believe that he physically rose again from the dead. And Paul was in his letters teaching and correcting the church on many occasions about these very things. And people say, I'm a Christian. There are many. Think of the world in which we live. There's something like 200 billion Christians on this planet. Praise God for that. But in great sections of the church, this is what they believe. They believe that you can become a Christian by works. They believe that you have faith in Jesus Christ plus your works. They believe in faith plus your love for God. And then when you come and you read, and he says here now of Timothy, but I have no one who is like-minded. It was a problem. It was there, was it not, in Galatians, if you remember, is that Paul came to preach to them. And someone else came in and told them, if you want to be a real Christian, you need something else to be added to you. And Paul has to come in and he has to deal with them. These things have always happened. And now he says, I've got one which is with me. And there's no one who is of the same mind, of the same spirit, of the same understanding of Timothy himself. And when you read about Timothy's life, he was someone who was brought up in the Christian faith from his mother and his grandmother. And you read of those wonderful verses where Paul says in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy that from childhood You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Timothy was on the same page. We're just marking that down in the broadest possible way. Because if anybody else says, and they do, I'm a Christian, but I've got problems with Paul. That may be a case, but you may have problems with your salvation, how a person's made right with God, and those things of God. Let me just read you these verses to see perhaps if you are on that same page. Just going to read you just a number of verses. Are you on the same page as then the Apostle Paul? Here it is in verse 20 of Romans chapter 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You got that? The Apostle Paul wrote that. It's as clear as crystal. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, he said this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. What about this? Are you of the same mind and of the same spirit? But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. And he says of Timothy, he's of the same spirit as me. I know that. I know that when I'm sending him and he's coming to you, I know this man. He knows the gospel. And I know he won't preach another gospel. He won't give you another message, because as it is on my own head, if I were to minister something else to you, let me be cut off from God. Let me be cast into the abyss, that I would do such a thing as to add to the gospel of Christ. And this man, he's of the same heart and the same spirit. And I'm going to ask you that question. Now, do you know that today, that you believe and you understand something of the Apostle Paul? I'm of John. Look, he went to Galatia and he said, everything I'm telling you is everything that Peter preached and John preached and James preached. It's of that which is of the church itself. But then there's something else now, just to broaden it a bit more, or to bring it in, that when he speaks of being of the same mind, do you know, it is possible, you see, to even believe all that, but not be of the same spirit as the Apostle Paul. It means more than just having those set of beliefs. Now, it may be that everyone here will say tonight, well, do you know, I'm like that. I believe everything. I've got no problem with what Paul then stated. But the reality with this is that Paul's not sending them now. Someone, I'm sending you now, Timothy, of the same academic ability as me. I'm not sending you now, Timothy, who's got the same understanding as me. He's sending now Paul, Timothy, who has got the same mind and thinking and heart and spirit. And you know, a church desperately needs that. I can give you many examples of what we need in the church today. We'll have people going into the ministry. And as they go into the ministry, you may be able to fulfill every exam question about the Apostle Paul. And you've got 100% right, but you haven't got his heart and you haven't got his spirit. It was said of those who years ago, they may have the doctrine of Whitfield, but they don't have the heart of Whitfield. And we may have people, you see, who can stand and they can speak those things in the pulpit, but they don't have the heart and the mind, the love for the lost, the reaching for the unchurched, for those who want to be built up in the faith, to labour and to spend their lives. They don't have that spirit which is then within them. And then he says, look, I'm going to send you Timothy. I'm going to send him. And he is, we're one. Like, he is as close. I've not found anyone who's got that same mindset, and how we need it today in that life of the church. You say, what does it take? You could tick all the boxes, but you still haven't got that which Paul knew, which was needed. We got people who are like, they're of the church, but they don't love the church. They're of the church, but they don't love the lost. And they won't be ministers, but they don't love work. And here's a man who knew what it was to labor. Let me just point this out to you for a moment. And it's really important because it'll affect the ministry. We're a church. Are we as a church of that same mindset as the Apostle Paul? You find it there in verse Corinthians and chapter 1 especially. Because when you think of it again, there are many people who want to preach and they want to minister. And this is what Paul says. There's a problem in the church at Corinth. And now Timothy is the one who's on the same page. And in chapter 1, verse 17, it says this: "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." I just want to point it out to you. Think of the ministries today which are conducted in the church. And Paul says, look, you're going to have to knock this on your head. You may think that a sacramental ministry of baptism and the ordinances of the Lord's Supper, and that's what I've been called to minister, and there are churches in their thousands which give themselves to this form of ministry. And Paul says, no, I have come to preach the gospel even to others. And that was in his heart and in his mind. And it was different to what operates even this day. And then you've got, have you not? Look, Paul knew what it was. He was a man who had concern for the poor. We know that from Galatians chapter 2. They told me to do one thing, to minister to the poor. The one thing I was always eager to do. But when Paul comes to have his ministry, he wants to tell them, look, it's not a sacramental ministry. It's not a social gospel. He tells them, I've come to proclaim to you the message which has come to us in Jesus Christ. And you know you need the church on the same page and to be of like-minded. You may have all the doctrines and the teachings of the Apostle Paul, but you don't have his heart and of his thinking. And then I'm sure you turn on, don't you, to the God channel. And as you turn on to the God channel, you've got your ministries there. And I'll tell you about the ministries. I've got the ministry of healing the sick. I've got the ministry of the supernatural powers. Well, the Apostle Paul had the ministry of supernatural powers. He's a man who knew what it was to raise the dead. And he didn't have to be there. He only had to send his hanky on the way. And if you would come on my God channel, I'll bless this hanky for you. And for $10, we did have one once, didn't we, Beth? Yes, I did use it. But what happened was this, is what I'm telling you is there's ministries. But the Apostle Paul says, look, when I came to you, the one ministry I had was this. It was the speaking of the gospel. And that's the mindset. There are so many who have so many ministries. And although they may believe everything that the Apostle Paul said, they are not on the same page. And they're not on that same wavelength. And so it is, look, in the life of the church, you've always got someone who, once then, something like this. Well, do you think we should try this? And when I speak of the same mindset, my appeal to you, my appeal is that you be on the same mindset as the New Testament. that you would listen to the Apostle Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. And although people could say, but I follow Christ myself, but Paul was not only teaching us in word, he was teaching us in example. And that's what you find. See, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, you read it through this book, that mind which is of the Lord Jesus Christ is being exemplified now in the life of the Apostle Paul and of Timothy himself. And there are many ideas that we can have. And I'm just going to ask you and appeal to you once again. Was that something that Paul would really have ministered like? Is that the ministry that the Paul would have really been involved with? I'm not saying that these ministries may not be blessed and they may not be used. But I will say this to you. There is a ministry that the Apostle Paul says that he has, and it is this. He says that when I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the reason was this, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And although he was bright and he was learned, he says, I didn't come to you with persuasive words of human wisdom. I didn't do it like that because I didn't want you to be taken up with some new modern idea, some earthly trend, some human reason, some human power. I came to you and I stood before you and I told you of what God has done in Jesus Christ in sweat and blood. And I just stated that case. I pointed the scriptures to you. And as a ministry, I'm just pointing out that perhaps is it not a place for that mind of the same kindred spirit that would want to know of ministry, which was mightily blessed, foremost amongst them all, knew the reviving in those places like Ephesus. And he tells us there is a ministry that God does bless. And you know, in the history of the church, you found it, have you not? When men once again, and the church once more, has opened the page of the New Testament and once again looked to what true apostolic ministry was all about, there's been revival, there's been a spread of the gospel, and there's been a furtherance like never before. And he says, I've got someone here, no one else who is like-minded. But then something else to bring it closer to ourselves, and this is important. As he states of the of Timothy, not only that you need that mind for your salvation, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Not only do you need that mind of Paul, that your service will know the power which is from on high and blessed with a mighty power, but you need also now of this life which is selfless in its giving. That's what you find in these verses. In verses 20 and verse 21 then, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Now, let me just speak something about the situation here. Is that he mentions about Timothy. He says that he has the mind, and part of it is this, that he does not seek his own. Mark it down, because you find it in chapter 1 and in verse 15. You can have ministries. Paul knows this. He is speaking to them. There are people who always want their own ministry. I'll say it. Their own prayer meetings, their own Bible studies, their own little works of ministry. But he tells us here, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. And some also, he says, from goodwill. And he says the former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add to my afflictions. And just because someone says they've got a ministry, you don't believe it, do you? For one moment that it could possibly be about you and your care and your concern. It doesn't work like that. Paul knew that. He's just stating as things were, that it is possible to have a ministry, and as I said before, you only turn on your TV, and it is their personal ministries. I like this, .com. My ministries, LTD, not a joke. And then you think you've started it up, and you begin to think, now look, he says, you need to have someone who is for you and out for you. And he mentions now of this like-mindedness. And here it is in verse 19. And the situation we're in, I'll try and describe it to you, is quite amazing. Paul is in prison in Rome. I don't know if I got my facts right, but there's Philippi, and the journey is colossal. I've read it would take 40 days to get there. That was if you were walking 20 miles a day. That's going to be one big journey in those days. Plus, you had two sea journeys to cross to get to Philippi in the meantime. Then Paul expects Timothy to come back. That's a good part of your year out. That's 40 days one way, and then you've got 40 days back. Now, I don't know, but Paul knew I could call on Timothy. I could call on him. I could send him on that journey, and he wouldn't bat an eyelid. I'd tell him to go, and he would go. I wouldn't even have to ask Timothy, you don't have to, you don't need to. No, he was of the same mind. Because in verse 19, that I may be encouraged when I know your state, and I have no one like-minded who sincerely care for your state. He knew that Timothy really cared from them. See, to have that mind of Paul, it's not just, you see, having the intellect of Paul, it's having the heart of Paul. It's not only knowing what Paul, it's having the humility of Paul. It's to have that where you, in your life, you've got this mind which loves God's people. You're concerned for them. And in this church at Philippi, all that's going on there, as we can see, was there was trouble in the ranks. It was between some factions, and there'd been a fallout amongst two women, we assess. You think you could deal with that trouble, Paul. He worried about that. He was concerned about them when the letter came, because he knew that that wasn't of the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he was prepared to do is to send the one who was with him, who was like a dear son, close to him, as anyone else. And he's going to send him on this journey because he cared. And I would ask you for that tonight. Do you sincerely care for your brothers and sisters? Do you care for their affliction? Do you care for their burdens? Do you have concern when there is strife? Do you have a care when things are not right, that they would be put right? Do you have a care for the backslider which has gone away? Do you have a care, and that you would know what it is to have that, in which you would be prepared to drop everything just to minister and to see to God's people? That's the mind of the Apostle Paul. And he said, I had someone like-minded. Look, when things come in to the life of the church, I know it myself, that sometimes you want to pick up the phone and you want to say to someone, can you do that? Can you go there? But then you stop and you check. You say, I can't do that because it's, I'll be honest with you, it's tea time. And then it's dinner time. And then it's weekend time. And you realize that although people may have the mind of Paul in their thinking, they don't have that heart of Paul in what it is to, this man did, to drop it for a journey for 40 days, and that was not fun. But for the love of these people, and here it is in verse 21, because of this, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. And this man, he knew that he had that above everything else, it was to seek the blessing and seek then their welfare and to seek those things. That is the mind of Christ. This is what we read. There it is in verse, let's have a look. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Not seeking their own interests, because this one, I'm sure he had things to do. But each of you look out not only for his own interests, verse 4, but for the interests of others. And this is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when I'm speaking to you of Timothy, we're speaking to you of what Christ does within the life of believers. Although, because of sin and various things, but the reality you've got is that he who was God humbled himself, became a bondservant, became obedient, even to death on a cross, and he did it. That mind of Christ which sought your welfare and your blessing. And so now he says, I've got one here. And Jesus Christ has worked out in his life something of this. I'll just be closing. It's that which I just want to prove to you. What is it? Well, it is this mind which has the social care for the people of God and of others. It is a mind, in your mind, that you will be of one mind, surely. Whatever your objections, and like I said, in the life of the church, it's a nightmare. Everybody's got their own kind of ideas. Fair enough. We want people to, you know, have an evangelical obedience. But every time you want to put on the throttle, it's always saying, no, it's wrong, it's not right, stirring up the point, on the phone, speaking to others. And before you know it, you're in a right little stuck. And here it is, be of one mind. Or are you going to be having your eulogy, and you'll do it like they do these days? I did it my way. It may be in the gospel, but I did it my way. And he says, look, I've got someone here. And you know what he's like? This is what he's like. He's like a son to me. He wasn't a son, but he was like a son. And like a son to one's father. He honored me, respected me. He did that. And I knew he had that about him. Now, whatever happens in your life, as you know, we had a funeral just a few weeks ago with my own father. And fair play to my brothers too. Whatever faults, whatever failings, what happens that day, you honor them and you respect them. And you do that. You wouldn't do anything else. And so it is, I've got one. And not only that, this mind of Paul, which he says, he served with me in the gospel. I mean, he labored with me. He was not just a servant, he was a slave, the word is used there. He knew what it was to bear the burden of the day, and this is someone which God uses in the life of the church. He has a proven character. He was with me when everybody else forsook me. He carried the burdens when everybody else left me. He knew what it was to go through the flames with me. I've tried him and tested him, and he's been proven to be true. That's the one I'm sending you. Now, I'm just saying tonight that in the life of the church, there are certain characteristics which are desperate, which is needed, which God uses for the furtherance of his kingdom. And so it was that this man, Timothy, God used. And God used him mightily, that then that gospel would go forth. Let's